Perfection is attainable. Now, how about that? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Perfection is attainable. I'm amused as I talk to people, and they're all giving me statements that perfection is not reachable. Perfection is not attainable. Perfection is something that is beyond the scope of anybody or anything. You can't have a perfect house, a perfect wife, a perfect husband, a perfect world. You can't have anything perfect. Well, I say, and I don't call myself a Christian according to the Christian attitude. I call myself a Christ believer and follower. And the teachings of Jesus, this word of Jesus is, be ye therefore perfect, even as is your Father which art in heaven. And I think that's a true statement. I think that's a valid statement, a very good statement. Be ye therefore perfect, even as is your Father which art in heaven. If Jesus, the master teacher, taught us to be perfect, that we can be perfect, then I would say we can be perfect. And we are sacrilegious, if you will, by saying we can't be perfect when the master teacher says we can be perfect. Now, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to believe in the words of Jesus. But you go to any psychiatrist, and he'll say much the same thing to you. He'll say, now, what is the perfect idea of yourself that you have? How are you looking at yourself? What do you want to experience in your world? And are you going to keep a perfect image of it? You're going to keep a pure and perfect thought in your mind. They're always talking about perfect. They're always talking. And if perfect was unattainable, as so many people like us to believe, then why are all these people using it? Not only are our philosophers and our religious leaders and our psychiatric doctors and psychological doctors and so forth, why is it? Why is it? What are we running from by saying that we don't want to be perfect? Perfect is attainable. Well, Herb, I haven't seen you perfect. No, because you haven't got your perfect eyes on to look at what I'm doing. If you were able to see yourself perfect, then you could see me perfect. But until you can see yourself perfect, you can't see anything around yourself perfect. Because everything is going to be in your judgmental eyes. Everything is going to be looked upon as you are touched by it. And we must learn not to be touched, not to be judgmental, you know, not to be possessed, not to be one-pointed in everything we do. That's tough. It's easy, but it's tough. You look at a little child, and you say to a little child, my, you are a genius. That's true. You are fantastic. Oh, my gosh, you picked that up so quickly. Yeah, that's true. And you think to yourself, kid, have you no humility? And you don't really mean that. What you mean is, I wish I had your simplicity and your innocence to say yes to those things myself. But I have been trained by my world, my family, and my stuff to think that I'm not perfect. And by gosh, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. And nobody can ever tell me I'm not perfect. The minute a person comes into my consciousness and says that something is not perfect, I just release them. I release them. Because they are like a person who is standing on top of a hole. And in that hole is a great diamond mine. You look down there and you can see the sun sparkling off the diamonds. And they will say, there is no diamond mine here. They're like the people who listen to great beings like the Dalai Lama or the Pope or Jesus or Buddha or whomever they may listen to. They listen to these great people and they say, yes, they are charismatic, beautiful, great people. But you ever try to live that stuff they talk about? Yeah. You ever try to live that stuff they talk about? And those who try to live it are putting forth a little effort. Those who just plain live it and don't expect anybody to know it are the ones who are having the greatest time. If you think that other people have to know that you are living this truth, that other people have to see the improvement in you, there is no spiritual healing in your future. maybe in your future, but certainly not in your present. There's no spiritual healing for you, because unless you can recognize the moment that you are healed, the moment that you are no longer looking at your problems, but looking at the solution, you forget all about what the problem is. You don't remember what the problem was. And that's wonderful. You just don't remember what the problem was. And when you don't remember what the problem was, then you have everything in divine order. So this is what life is all about. This is what our world is all about. Perfection is attainable. And is that important to you, to have perfection attainable? If it's important to you, then do not engage yourself in any changing the world, in any improving the world, in any helping someone else to understand that perfection is attainable. Let them alone. You see perfection as attainable. You experience it. You love it. And when you do that, then you'll see them that way too. And you'll say, oh, you didn't know you were the princess? You didn't know that your name was Princess Di? You were out on a party last night and had too many drinks. You know, you forgot who you were. You thought you were just a commoner living in England there. You know, that could happen. That could happen. People forget who they are. And people do forget who they are. And when they forget who they are, what happens to them? They're not who they are. They are whoever they think they are. And if they think they are some clown or some lesser being than they are, then that's how they're going to act. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. Remember that, Pygmalion? Now, when Pygmalion, I believe she's got it, you know, when she finally got the words and was able to speak them with the pure diction that the British liked so much, then they said, I believe she's got it. And this is true. Now, did she forget it for a while? Mm-hmm. When she felt that she was misused, or when she was not appreciated as the person she now was, the lady she now was, then she went back to her Cockney attitude and was a very nauseous little lady, you know? Now, the man who helped her arrive at her goal could not see her at her goal because he remembered her, how he picked her up. And even though he was remodeling her and developing her to be the wonderful person that she actually was, he didn't realize that in the remodeling, the old is gone. The old house, if you might say so, is no longer there. She moved, or her house is so remodeled that it's not the old house anymore. That Cockney girl doesn't belong in that house. She's now in this new embodiment, this new environment, and it's glorious. Well, she was attaining perfection. And finally, she got the message across because she was who she was. Glorious. She went back to her old neighborhood looking and thinking perhaps that she still belonged there. And she didn't. She was a new person. She had lived in the now. And so the past was no longer of any consequence. Nobody even recognized her. Who are you? Who are you, doughty lady, you know? Mm-hmm. Who are you, madame, you know? And she says, well, I'm, don't you remember? And they didn't remember. And they didn't remember. Because the girl that they knew, who was a nice girl too, the girl they knew was no longer around. She had left. She was healed, if you would say. Mm-hmm. And spiritually healed, and they didn't even remember her. Oh, they remembered Papa and so forth because he was still there. He was still on that level, but she was no longer there. When she moved off that level, she was no longer, she was perfect in her new environment. Her new environment wasn't easy because she had gained it without all of the avenues necessary to make it harmonious. She needed to know the avenues of, now I am a worthwhile person, and I am dealing from the idea I am a worthwhile person. I'm not dealing from the idea that I am a would-be. I'm not dealing that I am somebody else and I'd like to be this person. I am this person. Right now, I am this person. And she lived it. Now, where are you? Are you still back in your cockney days, or are you in your ladyship days?
Ladyship.
Right. And if you're going to be in your ladyship days, you do not recall your cockney days. You do not recall the days when you were something different. So perfection is attainable. But with perfection being attainable, we lose something very important. Very, very important. We lose our old friend, the person we used to be. We lose the old friend that had these people in their world and that acted in a certain way. And now we cannot act that way because we're now a new person. We're now, it's like the man who was in the boat. I told the story the other day. Mm-hmm. And God, Jesus came walking across the water, and he said to all of them, "You want to be healed?" And I said, "Yeah." But one guy said, "No, no, no, I'm on total disability." You know, he didn't want to lose the ability to have money taking care of him. He didn't realize when you are healed, you're back in business again. You're back in the life flow. You are your own master. He could have had everything. He could have had everything. It's just like the man who was a good man and did everything nice and everything right, had a beautiful family. And one day an angel appeared at his door and said, "I'll give you one wish, and I'll give you time to think about it," you know. So he spoke to his neighbors about the wish. "Oh, wish for money. Oh, wish for health. Oh, wish for this. Oh, wish for that." And the man could not think what to do. And finally, the angel came and said, "What is your wish?" And he said, "I would have my children eating off of gold plates for the rest of their life." Which meant he would be in wealth, which meant he would be in health, eating, and so forth, and so forth. I mean, his desire was so beautifully done and so simply done that it made a great deal of difference. It's all a matter of how we present the story, all a matter of how we present the idea. Just like the great king, he called in his counselors and he says, "I'm going to ask you a question, each one separately." And so he said to the first one, "What do you see in my future?" And the first one said to him, "Well, you're going to outlive all your children. All your children are going to die before you do." And he said, "Take him away, execute him." And then the next counselor came in and he said, "What do you see in my future?" He said, "You're going to live in eternity with a family surrounding you that love you and enjoy your world in eternity," and something of that nature, you know. And which was true. The family would not necessarily live as long as he did, but he lived long. But he didn't say your children are going to die before you do, which is kind of a tough statement. So what did he do for that counselor? He gave him a very, very great and wonderful reward. Perfection is attainable. We have to learn how the language of perfection is. Now, the language of perfection is not quasi-truth. It is not you're going to outlive all of your children. The language of perfection is that you're going to live a long, wonderful life surrounded by your family and so forth and so on. You know? And that both were true. One was more graphically specific, and the other was more lovingly general. And we can live a beautifully, lovingly general life. We don't have to be specific and say, you die at this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because the minute you say that, which may be true, which may very well be true, but the minute you say that, then you have fate, mm-hmm. Then you have luck, then you have all these things at your beck and call, and that's not what you want to do. That's not what you want to teach. That's not how you want to live. You want to live in the idea that perfection is attainable right now. And it's attainable in every beautiful way. in every beautiful way. I talked to a young man in prison this morning, and he was saying that he got the practitioner's manual and the minister's manual and all these other things, which he wanted to take the courses. And he said, you know, he said, I can't tell everybody in here that I'm perfect. But he said, everybody comes up to me and says, how come you always have a smile on your face? How come you're always joyful? How come you're so self-confident? How come everything's working out for you? You know, maybe it's a short time ago, nothing was working out. Now everything's working out for you. He said, well, I'm putting the right causes in motion. And they don't understand that either. And they went their way. But they couldn't help but look at him and see perfection manifesting itself there in prison and everything working out beautifully for this guy. Now, everything's going to continue working out beautifully for him as long as he remembers who he is and where he is. It's not that he's in prison. He is living in his divine self. All is in divine order. He is being his divine self. And any appearance to the contrary is notwithstanding, not important at all. You are living your divine self right now. You are being your divine self right now. You are the allness. But the moment you put Achilles heel there, a chink in the army, you are down at point one again. You're down at point one because you haven't maintained yourself true to what you believe about yourself, that you're, that perfection is not only available, but it's what you are. And if you can work on that, you all get very uptight with me. You say, Herb, you're always saying that we're just about there. Well, you are. You're there, in fact, but in your awareness, you're not there because it's too good to believe. It's too wonderful to be true. And whether you say that or not, it is true. Now, if you were to look at a picture, for instance, of a lake, and you would see the lake, and you'd say, well, how lovely. Then there's another picture closer to the lake that shows the shore with people sitting there in their boats fishing. You say, that's lovely. Then you get closer yet, you see the man sitting in the boat fishing, and you say, hey, that's lovely. Then you get closer yet, and you see the worm he put on the hook trying to catch a fish. You say, that's interesting. Then you see him drop the line into the water, and the fish come around looking at his hook and his worm. And you think, well, now let's see what they're going to do about that. Because those fish are perfect too, you know. And so you look at the fish and you say, Mr. Fish, I infuse you with my wholeness and perfection right now. And the fish looks over and says, oh, yes, yes, almost forgot. I was going to take a gulp. And so then what does the fish do? He nibbles. He nibbles around the hook until the worm falls into his mouth. He doesn't go up on top of the hook where he can be hooked, because he's seen that happen. And they learn. I mean, fish aren't stupid. And he learns. But you see, do you see the overall picture? Do you see the people in the boat? Do you see the man fishing? You see the hook being lowered to the fish? You see the fish using his wisdom to do it? Now, what's the big picture? The big picture is what it is. And if you're always looking at the big picture, you'll never see the little inconsistencies of the little picture, because they're not there. They're not visible. But you say, they're there. That fish was there. I went down and saw him. You know, he's there. Sure. Where do you want to spend your time? On the big picture or on the little picture? Do you think that if you pay attention to the allness, you can pay attention to the finite? You cannot.
No.
If you pay attention to the finite, you cannot pay attention to the allness.
Mm.
So are you the fish consciousness, or are you the overall view, the whole lake? And you say, Well, I'm in between. I'm back. That's right. You're in between. You're back and forth. You're vacillating between the allness and the finiteness. And that's all right. That's all right. There's no big deal about it. There's no rush to anything. The only thing is, what is important to you? Perfection is in the allness. When we know that perfection, it's done. Perfection is in the finiteness. But perfection in the finiteness is a fish, or a worm, or a hook, or a man. It's not the man, the fish, the hook. It's just a point. And anytime you start putting points together, you're getting closing in on an absolute. You're closing in on the isness, and that's great. But don't get hung up on any of the little trips along the way. Don't get hung up on the fish or the hook or the worm or the fisherman or the lake or anything else like that. Keep your eyes on the allness and watch it manifest for you. Perfection is attainable, not because we can do it, but because it already exists. And we are merely opening our eyes to that awareness. I love you. I love you. I love you. Love you.